You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. And now, here's Rick with the final part of a message called, What's the Solution?
Now, there's a third incredible benefit of Jesus' death, and it's called reconciliation. Replacement, redemption, reconciliation. It's the third reason Jesus died on the cross, and reconciliation says this. That means he restored my relationship to God. Now, reconciliation is a word you know. It means when you bring two parties together who have been distanced by conflict. There can be reconciliation, obviously, between nations, between parties, between governments, between people. It's when we've been apart from each other and we're brought back together. You know, whenever I do anything that hurts my wife, there is a break in our relationship. And isn't it amazing? Have you ever noticed this, how you can live in the same house and feel so distant from somebody? You know what I'm talking about? You're in the same house. You might even be in the same room. You may have even slept in the same bed. But you just feel distant from them. And what needs to take place is because there's been a hurt on one or both sides, there needs to be reconciliation to bring us back together, to span the distance. Now, the truth is, most people in the world feel distant from God. They don't feel God is close. They think he's watching us from a distance and that he's not involved in my life. And when I pray, I feel like my prayers just bounce off the ceiling. They're not getting anywhere. They feel like God is a million miles away, that God is not close, that God is not near, that he's far away. Well, I would say this to you. If you feel that God is far away from you, guess who moved? Okay, guess who moved? It wasn't God who moved away. You did. You moved away. And the Bible says our sin separates us from God. But here's the cool thing. God doesn't wait for you to take the initiative. You know, sometimes when Kay hurts me, she waits for me to take the initiative. Or when I hurt her, she waits for me. And either way, she waits for me. Nah, that's not true. But the bottom line is, in your relationship to God, God always takes the initiative. You blow it, you walk away from God, and God says, I'm not going to wait until they realize it and they come back. No, God says, I'm going to take the initiative to restore the relationship that you broke. And that's what Jesus did. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2, up on the screen here. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away from God are brought near through the blood of Christ's death. In other words, he took the initiative. One of the most amazing truths in the Bible is this. This is going to blow your mind. God wants you for a friend. Not as a servant, not as a slave. God wants you as a friend. Jesus said it. He said, I no longer call you servants. I call you my friends. And God says, I want a friendship. I want a relationship with the creatures that I made. I want you to know me and love me the way I know and love you. I want you to be a friend. It is amazing to me that the God of the universe would want me as a friend. It's even more amazing to me that he'd want you. I mean, now me, I can understand, but God wants you for a friend. Look at the next verse. The Bible says this, we were God's enemies, but he made us his friends through the death of his son. Now, how does that work? Well, Jesus Christ became the mediator. You know, the mediator is the guy who brings the two together. We all know about divorce mediation. When a husband and wife are so mad and so bitter and so angry at each other that they can't even work out their divorce, you get somebody to come together and say, okay, I'm going to bring the two parties together and we're going to deal with this and we're going to have some kind of mediation here. Happens all the time. And the Bible tells us, let me read a verse to you. God is on one side and all the people are on the other side, and Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them to bring them together. He was the mediator. What am I saying? When Jesus Christ was on the cross, one of the things he did was, take your place. Another thing he did was buy your freedom. And another thing he did is restore the relationship to God by saying, I will be the mediator. I'm going to be the bridge builder between you and God. The Bible says this, look here on the screen. Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends also. Here's the message, is that God is making all human beings his friends through Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins, thank God, and he has given us the message which tells us how he makes them his friends. What is that message? What we're talking about today. You know, in the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ, the only way you had access to God was through a priest. In fact, only the Jewish priest was allowed into the Holy of Holies. He had to represent all of the people before God because we were imperfect and God was perfect, and only one person was allowed on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. He was going to make atonement for the sins of everybody. And Jesus said, you know what? I took that idea and it's now out of the way. Now you can have direct access. I have been the mediator. And through Jesus Christ, I have direct access to God. You know what that means? You don't have to go pray through a priest. You don't have to go pray through a saint. You don't have to go pray through any other person. You can talk directly to God. You don't have to come confess to me as a pastor. The Bible says Jesus is our priest. He is the mediator. And you can go, that's why we pray in Jesus' name. You hear people say at the end of a prayer, and I pray this in Jesus' name. What's that mean? It means I don't have the worthiness on my own to come directly to God. But I'm coming directly to God because I'm coming in Jesus' name because of what he did on the cross. That's what the phrase in Jesus' name means. And when you pray a prayer, then you say in Jesus' name, which means I'm doing this because he's the mediator. He's the go-between. He's the bridge between man and God. And because of that, I can come directly to God. I can have direct fellowship with God. I can have direct communion with God.
The fourth benefit of Jesus' death on the cross is called rebirth. That means that he gave me a new identity. He gave me a new identity. Are there some things about your past you wish you could forget? I know there's some things about my past I wish I could forget. This past week, I Googled in the phrase, changing my identity. And to my surprise, 41,300,000 websites popped up, all dealing with the subject of changing your identity. I also found some interesting books as well. One was titled, Modern Identity Changer, How to Create and Use a New Identity. And my personal favorite, this one's a real winner, Changing My Identity and Disappearing Forever. I think we've all been there, had those moments one time or another. Why is it we're so preoccupied with identity, the discovery of it, the changing of it, escaping from it? Our culture basically defines our identity on four levels. First, it defines our identity on what we do. It's our careers. Second, it's on what we have, our possessions. Third, it's on what we know, our education. And finally, it's on how we look, our appearance. But our identity is so much deeper than that. Who we are is really, truly on a core spiritual level. The best our world can offer us in an identity change is an extreme makeover, and that's it. Possibly a new skill someplace, or possibly even a new name. But the change that Christ offers us is so radical and so profound that the Bible actually calls it becoming a new person, a new creation. When you become a believer, you experience a new birth, a fresh beginning. Everything changes. Titus 3:5 on your outline says, God saved us because of his mercy, and not because of any good things that we have done. He washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit and gave us new birth and a fresh beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ becomes a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new. See, when you become a believer, you don't all of a sudden look different to yourself in the mirror. It's still the same old you that you see yourself in. For some of us, that's unfortunate. You don't get a new house. You don't get a new car, a new job, all that stays the same. Even your personality pretty much stays the same once you become a believer in Christ. If you were a quiet person before you came to know Christ, You're still probably going to be a quiet person afterwards. You don't all of a sudden become the life of the party. But what does happen is a spiritual metamorphosis. Let me ask you a real theological question here. It's deep, so hang on with me here, okay? Can a butterfly go back into a cocoon after it's come out as a caterpillar?
No.
From the mouths of babes, great wisdom. Great wisdom. Of course not. It can't happen. Once it becomes a butterfly, it is what it is, a butterfly. And when you become a believer, you're like a butterfly in that you've come out of your cocoon. It may take you some time to fly spiritually, but once you become a new creation in Christ, you are what you are. You are a new creation. Now, we're not talking about mere positive thinking, because positive thinking would be like a caterpillar deciding to glue on wings to try to fly. That's not going to happen. God gave us a new nature when we became a Christian, and reminding yourself of who you are in Christ is truthful thinking. The greatest step of faith that we can take in our lives is when we accept Jesus in our life and believe what God said about who Jesus is. But I believe the second greatest step of faith we can take is believing God about what he says about who we are. You are a new creation in Christ. Look at your verse here on your outline, Romans 6, 3 through 4. Sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians and were baptized to become a part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. And when God the Father, with glorious power, brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. Circle that whole phrase, his wonderful new life to enjoy. You notice there it doesn't say a new life. That's important. It says his new life, his wonderful new life to enjoy. Because a true life, the better life, his life, a wonderful life, is only found in Christ. And when you become a Christian, you have a new life in him. Baptism is just an outward symbol of that inward change. In Revelation, it talks about how they sang a new song about what Christ did for us on the cross. Revelation 5:9 says, they sang a new song, you are worthy, for you were killed, and by your sacrificial death, you bought for God people from every tribe, language, nation, and race.
Now, friends, this is the greatest news in the whole world. You're not going to get this anywhere else except from God's word. Jesus took my punishment, replacement. Jesus bought my freedom, redemption. Jesus restores my relationship to God, reconciliation. Jesus gives me a whole new identity, and he wipes out all the things I've done wrong, says, let's start over, rebirth. And then finally, number five, the fifth incredible benefit of Jesus dying on the cross is repudiation. And that means this, he defeated death. In fact, he defeated death and the devil. And the Bible says this in 1 John 3:8. It says, the Son of God came for this purpose, to destroy the devil's work. That's why Jesus came to earth, to destroy the devil's work. What is the devil's work? Messing up your heart, filling it with worry, filling it with guilt, filling it with resentment, filling it with anger, filling it with fear, filling it with confusion, helping you feel worthless and helpless and hopeless and aimless. Where do you think that comes from? Not God. And Satan's biggest tool in your life is fear. Fear does not come from God. The Bible says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And the Bible says God is love. So when you're afraid, that's not from God. There is no fear in love, and God is love. Now, the number one fear that people have is the fear of death. And that Satan uses, the Bible says, to keep us enslaved. You see, the acid test of your faith, of your religion, of your worldview, your philosophy, the acid test of it is not how you act at the weddings or the baby births or the dedications or the parties or the graduations or all the happy times in life. The acid test of what you believe is, how do you react in the funerals of life? I have been in a lot of funerals being a pastor, and I have seen the difference of those with hope and those with no hope. And those with no hope who don't know God and don't know Jesus, I have looked into their eyes and seen the terror in their eyes when they have no hope for those loved ones who just died. And I have seen the difference that it makes when somebody knows the Lord, and the fact is Christians grieve. We have mixed emotions, but we don't grieve for the person who has died. We grieve for ourselves. We grieve with hope. We grieve because we're going to miss them. We grieve because we don't get to see them again till we get to heaven. But we don't certainly grieve for the people who die who know the Lord, because they're going to a better place anyway, where we were all designed to go eventually in the first place. This last week, we lost one of the great saints at Saddleback Church who spent the last 20 years being an usher. And he would stand right back there in that in 11:30 service on Sunday morning back in the corner, and I could see him. He'd stand through the entire service. And about a month and a half ago, as I was finishing speaking at the 11:15 service, I watched Hugh take his offering out of his jacket and lean it over and put it in the offering plate right there, because we were getting ready to give our offerings, and then he collapsed and never fully recovered, went into a coma, and he died on Friday. I thought, what a way to go if you're an usher. I'm going, you're in church, you've just given your last offering, it's the last thing you do on earth, and you go to heaven. Oh, wow. That is a way to go, okay? All right? I mean, we're all going to die. Why not die in a cool way? Okay? I mean, the very last thing he did was giving my gift back to God. What a cool thing. And I was talking to Loretta, his wife, for 48 years, because I was over there the night at his home before he died. And he was in a coma. And Loretta said, you know, Rick, we were married 48 years. And when we got married, Hugh made me three promises. He said, honey, you can always count on these three things. Number one, we will never, ever get divorced. No matter what happens, no matter what we do, no matter how angry we get, we're never getting divorced. Number two, we're always going to find some church home, and we're going to get in it. We're going to love God and serve God there, no matter where we live. And number three, we are always going to tithe the first 10% back to God. And she said he kept all three of those promises. Today, he is celebrating in heaven with a lot of other people that I know and love. And honestly, the more people who get on that side, the more eager I am to get there. Because I'm really kind of tired of some of the problems on this earth, some of the problems that I look around, the rapes and the wars and the violence and the abuse and the pornography and the incest and all of the diseases and all of this is a broken planet, and we weren't meant to be here, as we talked about last week, forever. The Bible says this on the screen. With the cross, God won the victory and defeated spiritual powers. He showed the world that they were powerless. I'm not afraid of the devil, not at all, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the Bible says this, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who has the power of death. That was his one tool. Only in this way could he deliver those who have lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. You know, I'm not afraid of dying. I told another service a while back, I was on a plane trip to Tokyo. And halfway over the Pacific Ocean, in the middle of the night, one of the engines on the plane I was on burned out. And people got a little bit of nervous. We had half the trip still to go. It was a 12-hour trip. And then a little bit later, with one engine out, we went through some serious, I mean serious, turbulence. And people were freaking out. I'm sitting there going, I'm ready. I think I was the only calm guy on the plane, you know? I'm ready. Now, this next part I made up. I'm just telling you. The other part was true. So they look around for a pastor, and they said, anybody pastor here? And so I raised my hand. They say, well, do something spiritual. So I took an offering. I made that part up. I'm not afraid to die. Why? Because when you know where you're going and you know who's there and you're a friend of God who is there, you're not afraid to meet him. I'm not afraid to meet God. I've been his friend for 40 years. I talked to him this morning. We had a great little conversation this morning. Me and God, we're like this. Okay? Now, here's the cool thing. You can be like this with God. It's not some special relationship. It's not like God said, well, only pastors or priests or missionaries can be like this with God. God says, I want you to be my friend. I want you to have a constant, ongoing conversation. I don't say the end of amen at the end of all my prayers. I just talk to God all day. Talk to him about this and that, whatever's on my mind. It just comes out. And I just have a running conversation all the time. You see, you're not really ready to live until you're ready to die. In fact, you can't live. You're just existing until you're ready to die. And only a fool would go all through life totally unprepared for something you know is inevitable. We're all going to die. I mean, I don't know, you may not want to talk about it, but we're all going to die at some point. Well, why not be prepared? You become a friend of God, so then it's not a big deal. You're not scared. You know you're going to be with your friend. The Bible says this. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was the signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. Jesus' death guaranteed the death of death. It just isn't that scary anymore. He neutralized Satan's only tool, the fear of death, because Easter was a total surprise to Satan. So anytime you're afraid of something, you run to God. Why? Because when God is near, you lose your fear. Now, here's the point. When you understand these five things that Jesus did that we just went over tonight, and I hope you go home and review them, instead of feeling worthless and hopeless and helpless and powerless and aimless in life, the cross says this about you. You are valuable. You are lovable. You are forgivable. You are capable. And you are usable for God's purpose in your life.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick today. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
One of the greatest joys of my day is reading letters from our listeners. It truly is inspiring to see how God is working in your lives. And it encourages me just as much as I hope to encourage you. So today I want to share a note from Heather, who has been discovering the incredible benefits of studying God's Word every day. Heather wrote to me, she said, Hi, Pastor Rick. A friend of mine recently sent me your podcast, and I've been feeling lost and helpless, and I wasn't sure what to pray or how to pray or when to pray, and it's like I hit a wall, and I haven't been sure how to get back on track. Well, your message really spoke truth to me, and it made me realize the missing pieces I had in my life, because I was not in God's Word daily. I was basically living my life without God, and I was trying to do everything on my own. Well, Pastor Rick, it goes without saying that doing life without God has been miserable failure. So thank you for stirring the Holy Spirit in my heart with the words that I needed to hear. I have now made the commitment to read God's Word every day and to pray daily. And I even started praying in the car as I go about my day, just like you. It's hard for me to close my eyes and not fall asleep. You were listening. Please keep doing what you're doing and reaching people who really need to hear about Jesus and God's love. Well, Heather, I am so glad to hear that you're back in God's Word and that you're making it a part of your daily life. There really isn't anything more important than deepening your relationship with Him. And I love the fact that you are praying every day, especially while keeping your eyes open while you're driving. Do you or somebody know or even feel lost yourself like Heather once did? Well, the best way to find hope and strength is by staying connected to God every day. That's the purpose of Daily Hope, and that's why I started it, to help people like Heather dive into God's Word and experience His encouragement
on a daily basis. Now, our Daily Hope devotionals and our podcasts are completely free, and they're delivered straight to your inbox every morning. So if you're not getting these, sign up today and start each day with biblical wisdom and encouragement from God's Word. Just go to PastorRick.com and sign up today.
Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.